We're delighted that you can be with us. We ask that you would turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6 as we finish up this wonderful study in God's Word. In the book of, in the chapter 6, we'll take a break through the rest of the Christmas holidays, but we wanted to finish up with these last two verses, and they're wonderful introduction and lead-in for the teaching in chapter 7 on Melchizedek and who Melchizedek is. So we're really looking forward to getting back to that after the first of the year at this point. So apart from that, I see Vanessa going out with Mason there, but we're happy to see Mason in the services, and congratulations to Jeremy and Vanessa. I know that Mason's been here before, but we missed opportunity to welcome him as he goes out. He's a beautiful boy, and so congratulations to you guys. Again, if you'll open your Bibles to Hebrews 6, and I'd like to begin with verse 12 there as we read to the end of the chapter, and or actually verse 11 if we could. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. So our topic here and our topic this morning will be hope, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness or the immutability of his purpose, interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word as we look at these two wonderful verses. And as we close off the sixth chapter, it's chapter 6 was a challenge, and as we looked at teaching the book of Hebrews, one of the things looking out about teaching verse-by-verse exposition of the book of Hebrews was this bump in the road, Hebrews chapter 6. And I just want to say that it's been a tremendous blessing to study it on this level, and I know that we've kind of inched along and creeped through it, but I hope that you've been blessed by this chapter. It's a controversial chapter that comes up often, and it's often used by those that believe that you can lose your salvation. And I think that we've made a very clear presentation of the truth and the reality that it's not talking about losing your salvation at all, but talking about pressing on there in verse 1, pressing on to maturity, and what it means to be fruitful in the Christian life. Now remember that pressing on to maturity means, that's the word that Jesus said, he that abides in me bears much fruit. That word for bearing fruit is the word for pressing there, pressing on to maturity. Bearing the idea again of, and the concept of this life that we have in the new covenant. And that's what this teacher is teaching about, that in Jesus Christ, this one who in these end days God has spoken, in the past times He spoke through prophets and through many and various means, but in these last days He's spoken to us through His Son. So when Jesus said, this is the covenant in my blood, and He established this new covenant, what we're looking at in these verses, in this passage, is this relationship where there is a human being, the offspring of David, that is resurrected from the grave, that has been given all power and all authority over heaven and earth, that has given the keys to the kingdom of God to the apostles and to the church. And so this gospel is going forth, and that gospel is contingent. Everything hinges upon the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ to be at the right hand of the Father. There, after this order of Melchizedek to be high priest for you forever. And what that means, the significance of that is that not only as is the penalty of your sin been pardoned, been forgiven, been paid in full by Jesus Christ, but also this morning, we can be here together as God's people with freedom from guilt of sin, because Jesus Christ paid it all. It was all done with. And it is that hope, it is that assurance. And by when the Scripture speaks of hope, and as we look at this concept in Hebrews chapter 6, where it talks about being diligent to realize the full assurance of hope, it's talking about the assurance that we have in the work of Jesus Christ. It's talking about the assurance that we have in the work that God did for us on our behalf on the cross of Calvary. So not only is the penalty of our sin forgiven and taken care of, and not only is the guilt of that sin taken away from you, and God has made that wonderful provision for us to walk with Him now. The guilt is gone. The penalty of our sin is gone. And yet we have this issue, don't we? And that issue is, the reality is that you probably didn't do all that great this week spiritually. For the most part, for most believers, you know, sometimes we're on task and we've got the goal before us, and we've been diligent to realize that full assurance of hope, and sometimes we have not. And the reality is that for many of us, we basically have walked around in the energy and the strength and the wisdom of the flesh and known the defeat of trying to carry on and live life in our own strength, right? Know what I'm talking about? But what the wonderful truth this morning from what we've looked at in Hebrews chapter 6 is that Jesus, as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, is there ever interceding, ever mediating for His people. And that means that we can come here this morning and confess our sins and know the forgiveness of those sins and establish fellowship with God. Now, I enjoyed Pastor Steve's message this morning in 2 Corinthians, and this vision that the Apostle Paul had of heaven and the glory that he saw there is something that by faith that we need to think about, because that's where our Lord Jesus is, and the attaining of that glory, the glimpse of that glory, was what, as was being shared, is what prepared the Apostle Paul for the persecution, for the hardship, for the struggles that he had in this life, for that attaining of the goal, for that diligence to realize the full hope of assurance until the end. And the Apostle Paul was always encouraging people, press on for the mark. It's worth. It's worthy. The goal is worthwhile. And so living the Christian life is worthwhile. But what we need as God's people is a focus on the fact that we've been given this incredible privilege to enter in to the Holy of Holies through faith, because Jesus is there as mediator on our behalf. But we're under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus entered into the presence of His Father, the offspring of David, of the tribe of Judah, this man is there. As there's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Now Jesus, no man ascends to heaven but he who descended from heaven. Jesus came down from heaven, from Philippians chapter 2. He took upon himself human flesh, but he's a human being of the offspring of David, and that human being has been resurrected and is there after the order of Melchizedek, acting as your high priest. So when you say 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, God is faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, that's exactly what God does. Why? Because you have a mediator. You have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and God is faithful and just in His mediation to reestablish your fellowship regardless of the sins that you may have committed this week and regardless of the failure that you may have experienced in your Christian walk. God will reestablish your fellowship and draw you in strength and in His grace. So we're told, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Because we ever have an intercessor, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. They're interceding for us. And that's our hope. In pressing on for maturity, that's where our strength comes from. And as that communion, that fellowship, that relationship with that high priest, And the reality, putting our eyes upon Jesus, setting our mind on those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and realizing our position in Christ, that He went to prepare a place for us, and if He went, that He will return again and take us to be with Himself. That glory is our assurance. It's our hope. It should be our focus in the Christian life. And so as we look at these last two verses, we want to consider what it means to lay hold of the hope for spiritual maturity. And we looked at two things the last week. One was that we lay hold of our hope for spiritual maturity. It is based upon God's declared word. Now remember that we read these verses. We looked at the fact that first God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and then God made an oath, and He made a covenant. He swore an oath to Abraham that these promises that He had made of inheriting a land, seed, and blessing, the kingdom of God, that there would be one who rules over the earth, that there would be one who takes care of the sin problem that had been brought in by man's rebellion, that there would be one through his seed, that these promises and these prophecies, the fulfillment would take place. And in light of those things, God based that what He had promised or given to Abraham on His declared word. First His promise, and then it said, in the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs the promise of His unchangeable or immutable purposes, interposed with an oath in order that by two unchangeable things, first God's promise, then His oath. But here's the point, is that our laying hold of this eternal life, what it means take hold of the things concerning our salvation, things that accompany salvation, that is directly involved with the promises or the Word of God. The things that change our lives, that transform us, have to do with what God has spoken about us. So our position, who we are in Christ, the promises of God are the power of living the Christian life. And by laying hold of those, Jesus described it in John chapter 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. not a carte blanche getting whatever you want. God's a genie in a lamp to do what we want. But in the context of being fruitful, of bearing fruit in the Christian life, of laying hold of the things that accompany salvation, as we abide in Christ and draw our strength from Him, and as we have that intimate and personal relationship with Him, there's a transforming aspect that takes place in the believer, where we are transformed from glory unto glory as we behold the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ transforms us. So what we need this morning is to see the beauty of Christ. We need to see the integrity, the honesty, the purity, the light, immortal, invisible, God only wise, and light inexpressible. That's our God. He's just the beauty of His light, of His glory, and the purity of His holiness and righteousness is, as we behold it, it's transforming. And this is the hope that we have, and it's based upon His declared Word. Once we step outside of that and plunge into experiences or traditions or other religious things, then we're sidetracked. But if we're pressing on to maturity on the basis of laying hold of the promises of God's Word, then we find the power of God and the grace of God at work within God's people. And don't we desire that? Don't you just long to lay hold of the reality of the Christian life? Can't do it unless it is based and established upon the teaching of God's Word, on the promises of God, on the things that God has declared about you. And what has He said? You know, be ye holy, for I'm holy. His instruction is calling us and drawing us to a higher calling. And as we trust in Christ, and as we know that forgiveness and cleansing and fellowship with Him, then we're being transformed into His glory, from glory into glory. And there's nothing like it. If we could just get that glimpse, if we walked away with nothing else this morning but just a glimpse of the glory of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that we truly, honestly, sincerely, in a holy and pure way, longed for it and desired that glory, then it would be well worth your visit to Grace Bible Church this morning, and well worth our time. Secondly, it's established, and that it, again, is laying hold of this hope or this assurance for spiritual maturity is based or established upon God's immutable Word. Okay, so basically saying the same thing there that we found in those verses last week. But the point is just driven home over and over and time again in Scripture. If you look at what God's Word says about sanctification, it has to do with taking God's Word in, with laying hold by faith of the promises that God says about you, that even at times by your experience and by everything that the world is saying and everything else is preaching something different to you. But the Word of God is saying that God has called you. You're to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of that eternal life for which you were called. That laying hold of the eternal life that you were called to is the topic of these verses. And then thirdly here in verse 19, we look at laying hold of our hope for spiritual maturity is anchored by God's presence in heaven. And that's what I'm talking about here by way of introduction. Look at verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Now, here in these two verses, there's actually a list of things that describes this anchor to our soul. And we want to look at that briefly. We want to consider this anchoring in God's presence in heaven. And again, it has to do with what we're saying here, that it is anchored in Christ's resurrection and ascension. That after He had made purification of our sins, there in Hebrews 1:3, He ascended to be at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's our anchor. Our Lord Jesus is our anchor for fighting the good fight. He is our anchor for laying hold of that eternal salvation for which we were called. He is our anchor for the presentation of that good. I forgot the last part there. Somebody help me. Good confession, laying hold of that good confession for the believer. Christ, in His being anchored there at the right hand of the Majesty on high, is the source. He is our source of eternal life, right? So, again, the topic there, going back to chapter 5 and verse 9, having been made perfect, our Lord Jesus became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation. So our anchor, our source is one and the same. Our source of salvation is in Jesus Christ. Let's look again at the verse. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, okay? And we want to consider that. So it is anchored in, and the first point we want to make is that it's a, oh, let's see. Okay, the first thing that we want to do is look at this anchor thing, okay? He uses a beautiful picture here, and what you're looking at is a harbor on the Sea of Galilee. It's an artist rendition, and what's really cool, if you've ever seen pictures of the Sea of Galilee today, and you've seen some of the ruins of the cities like Capernaum and some of those places there, what happened a few years back is that the water line dropped. And they found these very interesting structures, and they were actually harbors. As you see these projections of this this rock and concrete that came out, they actually had built harbors around Capernaum and Chorazin and some of these cities that were built around the Sea of Galilee, and they looked these cities actually looked like that, okay. And those, if you see those little boats, those are, again, those are pictures. They actually found a Jesus boat as the waters from the Sea of Galilee resided, receded. They found this partial hull of a boat. And so these are pretty accurate to what some of those boats looked like back then. And in the harbor, they would, of course, the Sea of Galilee, if you've ever seen it, it's a beautiful, it looks like a big lake. And it, if I remember right, it's like, again, it's 500 feet below sea level. It's approximately 7 miles across and 15 miles or so long, if I remember my stats right on that. And but it looks like a lake when you see it. But when the winds come over the Golan Heights or when these terrible winds come up and they take this dip down in this hole, the Sea of Galilee becomes very, very dangerous. And so we have descriptions of that as the disciples were rowing across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm suddenly comes up. Well, what happened was one of these terrible winds would come up, come over the mountains and down into the Sea of Galilee, and it would be dangerous for anyone out at that time. And the objective would have been for the disciples to get to one of these harbors. And there the ship would pull in, the boat would pull in, and they would drop anchor. And there was that safety or security. So the picture is well described for the disciples. You can imagine Peter, James, and John thinking in terms of oh yeah, the anchor. Christ is our anchor, and our anchor is in heaven. So you've got this beautiful picture of something that was everyday life experience for the Galileans. There's another picture here of the Sea of Galilee, and that's a satellite picture there. With the cities that Jesus mentioned and that He ministered in, and of course the home base of His ministry there at Capernaum. And that's where those cities were located. And sometime we'll take opportunity and show you some really good pictures of the Sea of Galilee and some of the ruins of these places. You remember in Matthew chapter 11 that he pronounced judgment on these cities. And sure enough, when you go to Israel, you'll go and you'll see the ruins of these cities. And so there was what? Temporal judgment that came upon Israel, upon these cities that saw Jesus' great works and rejected their Messiah. And we have the remnant, the ruins of that day and time, and what it meant by way of rejection. Of course, before 70 A.D., the Roman soldiers came to the area of Galilee, and there's horrible stories about what happened, the judgment that fell upon Israel during that day and time. So, and those are the warnings, some of the warnings. Do not be dull of hearing. Do not be hard, let your heart be hardened. And the warning of Kadesh Barnea was given there earlier in Hebrews. So the anchor of the soul, laying hold of our hope for spiritual maturity, is anchored in Christ, anchored in these things. And first of all, there it's anchored in a present hope. Notice it says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. So this we have is a present tense verb, and it means that we presently have it. Okay, that's good news, right? Because it doesn't mean it's something future that we can lay hold of, but it's something that we can lay hold of at this moment. It's something that's there for you. You may not be experiencing it in your Christian life. You may not know the joy and the peace and the security of the harbor that is found in Jesus Christ, even though you're a believer at times, right? But the reality is that He is a harbor, that when the storms come, when the difficulties come, that security that is found in Him, that anchor that is found in Christ, is the anchor that you and I need. It's where our salvation comes from. And so in diligence, we realize the full assurance of hope until the end, through all the storms, through all the trials, through all the persecutions, through all of the challenges of life. Christ is the anchor to our soul. He's the one. And it is there that we find our security and our safety. It's not found in the bank account, folks. It's not found in the economic well-being of the United States of America. No, it's just not there. It may go and it may come. We may do well and we may not. But our security is not there. Our home is not here. But Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. And He is there in heaven. And in His Father's house are many dwelling places. And if I go, I will return and take you into Myself. Our security is there. We're pilgrims here. And when we come to that reality, it makes us free, doesn't it? There's peace that God's people have. There's joy that God's people have in hardship. And the Apostle Paul and the apostles demonstrated through all the persecutions and trials and the proclamation of the gospel, this steadfast assurance of the faith and patience of inheriting the promises, the proclamation that there's a better day coming, that God has a plan, that He's going to do away with the problems that we have here on planet Earth. And He has provided a way of salvation. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Me. And He's telling you the truth, folks. He's the way. It's His path. And He's the anchor. He's the harbor for the soul of the believer. It's there that we find our refuge, our comfort and strength. And so for those of you that are in manifold temptations, in heaviness for a short period of time, because everything here is a short period of time in view of eternity. And in that heaviness through manifold temptations, if you're going through such things, there is a harbor for you. There's a safe place for you. And it's with Jesus Christ. And the bottom line is submission by faith to the One that loved you and gave Himself for you. As you lay hold of that anchor for the soul. So it's a present hope. It's for you here this morning. Lay hold of that which Jesus has supplied for you. Know the fullness and the glory of His salvation. And know it today. There's no reason to delay, but flee to the harbor of the soul, to the comfort that only Christ can bring to you. If you've put it in other things, if you're seeking other things, you'll never find rest there. You'll never find comfort. You'll find temporary pleasure in sin and going your own way and doing your own thing. But until in submission you come to Christ, until you have right relationship with the God who created you and the purposes that He created you for, you're always going to have trouble and you're always going to have turmoil in your soul. And it's not going to get any better for you if God loves you. For the unbeliever, that's okay. The unbeliever goes on and they can seek temporal pleasure in certain things and they can get away with it. You know, they're satisfied to eat, drink, and be merry. But for you as a believer, there's no peace in it. And you, what will happen to you if you do not know the harbor, the present harbor of your soul in Jesus? What you will do is you will struggle and you will fight and your rebellion from and lack of submission to God, you will experience uneasiness, lack of peace, lack of joy, and there will never be any rest for your soul. But in the harbor, in the present help of Jesus, He that is the anchor of our soul, there's a place to flee, a place to know that present hope. Secondly, it is a sure and certain hope. And here we have a certain and stable hope. The idea there of the certainty, it means a little bit different, doesn't it? If it's certain, it means that, hey, I can rely upon this. And right, isn't that what the context of this passage keeps saying? He's saying, you know, be like those, imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. The promises of God, the Word of God is your hope. It's your strength. It's the thing that you lay hold of. It is certain. It's the one thing that's certain. So you're going to go through life and you're going to get all of these messages about life is here or life is there. You need this to be complete or you need that to be complete. You need money to live off of and you need this or that for security or stability in life. Nothing is certain, but God's Word is certain. Okay? If you believe that, if you put your hope in that, you have something that's truly certain. And I tell you that there will be circumstances and things that will challenge that. Those are called tests. They're called trials. And what God wants you to do is to grow in faith, to learn to trust His Word. And there has to be a decision. There has to be a decision for the believer. And that's what Hebrews is about. It's about that decision that the Word is going to determine my action in life. Remember when it happened to me. I can remember when it happened in my life. I was a mess, just an utter and complete disastrous mess with no peace in my soul. I used to lay awake till 4 o'clock in the morning with a knot in my stomach. You know, why? Because I was in rebellion against God. I was doing my own thing, my own way, and I had some kind of idea that I could handle things on my own, in my own strength. God's more than a crutch for me. It's my life. And His Word became the one stabilizing factor in my life. So if you're challenged with instability and with heartache and with struggles and trials, submit yourself to the Word of God. And find, as you take in God's Word, and in obedience, you say, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what anyone else is saying. This is what God's Word says. And that's the bottom line for us. And that's an anchor for your soul. It is certain for you. It's the one thing that is certain. And when you take that approach to God's Word, and you throw off all the junk that your culture is saying, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a freedom that takes place. And as you pursue that submission to God's Word, realizing that, hey, I'm a rebellious person. My old sin nature is never going to want to serve God. It's always going to be a struggle until I receive the resurrected body. I'm always going to have this struggle. But as you realize those things and you lay hold of that pressing on for the maturity in Christ Jesus, and as you take that certain hope in His Word, then God will transform your life. He will make you a new person, and He will make you more like Jesus Christ, where you have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's your goal. That's what it means to press on. And it's that certainty in His Word and what He has said to you that is where you must stand. Plant your feet there. Build your house upon the rock. What did Jesus say? These things which I have told you. There's the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. There's the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And that rock is God's Word. It's what He has spoken. It's what He teaches us. And you've got to make that decision if you want to live the Christian life, if you want to press on, if you want to attain that salvation that you've been called to, and all of the glory and the beauty that God desires for your life as a Christian. Okay, it's there. It's right there before you. It's received. It's by grace. It's a gift that God has given you. And it's received by faith. As you imitate those who through faith and patience, waiting on God, wait on God for the things that are needful in the Christian life. And it's right there. A certain hope. It's certain for you. And I can preach it with certainty that God will not lie to you, that His Word will be strong, that it will be certain for you. And so we must embrace this certainty. But also, there's a stability, a stable hope. And that hope is that a security in it. So it's not only certain we can rely upon it, but it's a stabilizing. It's a hope of security. It's an anchor that is sure. It will not break because what Christ is able to do, not because of what you're able to do. You're still trying to figure out the Christian life. You're still trying to walk in your own strength. But dependence upon Him and relying upon Him and in relationship with Christ is where our strength comes from and our stability comes from and the relief comes from. Those imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Okay, so this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. And this brings us to, you know, we sang about hope this morning. The hope that we have in Christ, our only hope is Him. And then we looked at this beautiful picture of the entrance into the Holy of Holies. And everything about the New Covenant is about a relationship with God. It's about this veil being torn at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And that veil being torn means that there's been given access. That which was unapproachable. That which required priests, Aaronic priests before to go in and make offering for our sin and sacrifice for our sin has been broached. Jesus Christ has entered in to the Holy of Holies. And it's interesting these terms, which enters within the veil. The picture there is this entrance, and it's the priest, as the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, they would go in to this veil, and the area behind the veil is there. It's a sanctuary, or what was called the Holy of Holies. So in the temple and in the tabernacle, there was the holy place, which is where the priest ministered the showbread and the drink offerings and the incense offerings. And they had the lights, the menorah there, and later the candles, lights for the temple. But in the Holy of Holies was the mercy seat. And the high priest would enter into that, and that's the picture that's drawn here. When Jesus Christ ascended to be with the Father, He entered in, and that veil was rent. And what happened is Christ went there, He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell His people under the new covenant. And that Holy Spirit, indwelling God's people, empowers us. And so we're told to be filled with His Spirit. That means to be controlled with the Spirit of God. And that means that, there's a oneness, a relationship, a fellowship that we have with God that's necessary for us. And you can fight it. You can try other things. But this is where the Christian life is. This is where our hope is. This is where our anchor is. This is where, in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God, by faith, we know His grace, His salvation. And this is where, if you really want to look at what it means for Jesus to be the forerunner and for this priesthood, go back to John chapter 14 and look at what Christ told His disciples as He was leaving, as He was departing in the cross of Calvary. And He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And this promise, this wonderful promise. And then the disciples said, how do we know where you're going? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's relationship with our Creator. That's what He offered to us. And the veil's been rent. He's there in His presence. And through the Holy Spirit, we this morning have a present hope of enjoying and loving and knowing God and being pleasing to God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? I can be here and be pleasing to God, not through my own righteousness, not because I did enough works or fulfilled the law to please God enough, but because Jesus Christ shed His blood. And in that sacrifice, as He's there in the very presence of the Father, He's made entrance there to the mercy seat. There's mercy for the believer because we have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek who made a one-time sacrifice for our sins. And that means past, present, and future sins have been paid for in full by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have fellowship with God, knowing the righteousness of Christ. God made He who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Verse 20, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner. This sanctuary, this Holy of Holies that we sang about, enjoying the presence of God. In this holy place is where Jesus, that's where Jesus, the forerunner. Now, this picture of a forerunner is interesting. It's not as interesting as the harbor picture. But the forerunner is this guy that he would be compared to the spies that went into the holy, into the promised land. Those guys went ahead. They went before the nation and they scouted the land and they were the forerunners. They went in before. It is one who is sent before to take observations or act as a spy, a scout, a light, or a soldier. One who comes in advance to put to a place where the rest are to follow. And that's the idea. Jesus in His resurrection is declaring that, oh grave, where's your victory? That there's a hope of the resurrection because the offspring of David is at the right hand of the Father on high. Not only that, but in John chapter 14, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return again and bring you to myself. And so we know that Jesus said, He that beholds the Son and believes in Him has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The hope of the resurrection is what we're talking about here. Jesus is the forerunner. He's the guarantee that God's word is good. The oath has been made. The covenant has been set. The word is true. It will not fail you. It is certain. It is stable. It is the anchor of your soul. It's where the Christian life flows from. So we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Isn't that awesome? And we've got this new life. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things become new. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The forerunner of our salvation has made it sure and certain, absolute, and the guarantee, the eternal security, our eternal salvation that we're talking about here is steadfast and sure and reliable. And it's on that basis that we can live the Christian life, and we can't live it on any other basis. So if you're in Hebrews chapter 6, and you're all worried about for those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the ages to come and then have fallen away, it's impossible for them to be renewed again to repentance. If you're thinking that's loss of your salvation, then you have no hope of living a Christian life. You got no anchor. You got no assurance. You got no certainty of anything. Okay, but that's not what it's talking about. Go back to verse 1. Press on to maturity. Not laying in dead works. Not faith toward God. Not instruction about the basic things of salvation. And it says there in verse 2, the resurrection of the dead or the eternal judgment. Not about those things, folks. It's about Christian maturity. That's what the passage is about. And so here in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, is the stability, is the source of life, is the security that is needed for growth. And everybody needs security for growth. You can't grow if you're insecure, if you don't know what your relationship with this is with God, if you don't know that you're forgiven, if you don't understand that He's made every single provision for you. What is your sin? What is the burden that you carry this morning? Christ has died for it. A simple confession of the sin takes it away. It restores and establishes fellowship with God. And there you find the source, the strength. Those who by faith and patience inherit the promises of God. The Word of God is your strength. It's your anchor. It's the stability of your soul. And so, number 3, the Holy of Holies. Number 4, the entrance of Jesus first. Our hope is anchored in the entrance of Jesus first. He's the forerunner. And His resurrection is the sure salvation that we have. And where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever. Okay, it's based on the Melchizedek priesthood. A high priest forever. He's there ever to intercede for you. He's always the mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other way to God. There's no other way for you to deal with the problems that you're dealing with in your relationship with God this morning. This is the way. It is certain. It is sure. It is an anchor to the soul. It is the priesthood of this high priest, the Melchizedek priesthood, one who is not after the order of Aaron, but one who is priest and king, one who has conquered all, one who has conquered death through His resurrection from the grave, and who, in fulfillment of the law, paid in full the penalty for your sin. What sin do you have this morning? It is taken and paid for in full by this priest. He paid for it. One time sacrifice for the full penalty and the wrath that rightfully belongs to your sin. And it's out of that flow, out of that source of eternal life, that you have freedom from sin and freedom from the consequences and the death of sin. Because all sin is death, right? God has not mocked whatsoever man sows that he shall he also reap, right? Okay. So some of you this morning carry scars, but the reality is still that God has paid the penalty for your sin. And you will carry scars in this life, and you will carry consequences for sins that you have committed. But the penalty for that sin being separation from God has been taken and paid in full. And the way through your problem with sin and to lay hold of that salvation and the source of salvation through that sin and through the consequences of your sin is through Jesus Christ, your high priest, whoever mediates for you, whoever cares and loves you and expresses the desire for you to move on to holiness, to press on to the maturity, to lay hold of the hope for that spiritual maturity. And it is found anchored in God's presence in heaven. It is anchored in the entrance of Jesus first. It's anchored in the Melchizedek priesthood of Jesus. It's anchored in, finally, the security that he has offered forever. Notice what it says. Having become a high priest forever. Okay? Eternal life. Having become a high priest, say it again, forever. Forever. You know, he's not moving. He's not leaving. He'll never forsake you. It is sure. It is certain. The salvation that Jesus Christ offers is real and true. And it's based upon his word. His word is good to you. His word is good. And that's the bottom line. This morning, you're brought to a place where you will make a decision as to whether to move on in the Christian life or to be dull and sluggish and not hear the admonition of Hebrews chapter 6. Okay? You can make that decision this morning. But understand the admonition. It's very, very serious. And when it says that there's no repentance, there are times in places in life where we miss opportunity for the expression of that source of eternal life to be expressed to you. And you can never go back and get them again. Can't ever get them again. They pass in time. And they're lost in time. And only by faith and patience, imitating those who have gone before us, can we inherit the promises of God when we recognize the Word of God and by faith and by the grace of God and through faith in the grace of God, inherit those promises. That's the Christian life. And it's a decision that believers have to make. It's about His Lordship. It's about His Word being the major factor, the determining factor in the decisions that you make in life. And what that will determine is that source of eternal life being born in fruit. You know, pressing on to maturity means that eternal life is being born today, December 12th, second day. December, the 12th month of the year of 2012, on the second day, there's fruit being born in the lives of God's people. Why? Because of their faith in the Word of God, their trust in the Word of God. And it's a decision that we make. It's a decision for the believer. It's time for us, God's people, to repent, to turn and to embrace the salvation that God has set before us. And it's simply an act of faith. It's not power that we have within ourselves. It's not personal ability or personal wisdom. It's simply submission and drawing and dependence from the God who is able to give salvation. Jesus is the source of your salvation. Why is that so hard for us? We still think, I mean, I can preach this all day long, and I'll guarantee you that we'll all go home with these crippled and broken ideas that in some way we can save ourselves. Some way we can do certain things that are going to make things all right, and it just doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen. Our strength is in Him. Draw from Him. Your relationship to God is so important. So grow in your relationship with God. Grow in faith. As a church body, let's commit to growing in faith. And we do that by trusting His Word and seeking His Word, hearing His Word, and making decisions about, I'm going to live by God's Word. It's that simple. And when we, in our will, make that decision in relationship with God's will, that's what Jesus is talking about. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you believe Him? Do you believe His Word? I mean, He makes us free. You can be free as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, and that You are true, and You are certain. And our stability, our hope is in You. You are the anchor for our soul. Our Lord Jesus is the forerunner that has gone before. He's seated at the majesty on high, at Your right hand. They are ever interceding for us. And my sins have been forgiven because Jesus is my priest. He's my mediator. And I trust, Lord, in what you have said about me and not my experience or what I feel about myself or what I think about myself, but what your word thinks about me and what you have said about me, Lord. And God, we're so thankful for your salvation, that Jesus is the source of our eternal life. And that we might, in some way, as your people, embrace those things that accompany salvation. And that we might lay hold of the hope, of our hope for spiritual maturity, anchored in the very presence of God in heaven, there in relationship with Him, moving and having our being. And Lord, we thank you for every provision, for you are the God of our salvation. It's in you that we hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.